Hey guys, my name's Craig, the District Youth Director and Student Ministry Director for the West Florida District Assemblies of God. And we're coming to you with this podcast or videocast today to just talk to you about some leadership tips, but in particular today, technology in student ministries. Here with my good friend Andy McMillan here at Generations United Church, and Andy uses a lot of different apps and technology in ministry, and we just thought we'd come together and really just have a conversation and record the conversation in hopes that maybe you'll pull a nugget or two out of this that'll help you in ministry. I know for me, if it wasn't for technology, I would be probably a hopeless cause and would need three or four secretaries to follow me around in order to get anything accomplished, because I'm about as ADD as they come, and I'm scatterbrained, I'm low detail, but high vision, and so I can come up with a great picture of what it needs to look like, but when it comes to how to do it and planning those steps out and trying to figure out who needs to be doing what, I can be a nightmare to work with. Just ask my admin back at the office, or my wife for that matter.
I think for most of us, we all have a desire to do our job more efficiently and to make things better. And we hear people say all the time, well, there's this or that you can use. But really, when it comes to starting out, we go, well, what can we use?
Let's talk a little bit on productivity. Because I know for me, that's the thing that really helps me out, especially where I'm at right now in particular, is different productivity apps that make my life a little bit easier, keep me on track and on time. Mm-hmm. And probably the most simplest one, and I know this is going to be a shocker to you guys, you've probably never heard of it, but it's Google Calendar. You know, every phone probably comes with some kind of calendar, but Google Calendar has just made my life so much easier, because my calendar is now synced with my wife's phone. And as much as I have to travel, she knows where I'm at or where we're supposed to be doing, or she's putting stuff in. And the moment we put it in either one of our calendars, boom, there it is. And it helps us out as a husband and wife. But we just we keep a lot better track of the events coming up, the alerts that you can set.
Well, most of us use, most people use Google Calendar anyway. So if you're trying to remind your teams of something, you can invite them to events. To leader meetings, and it can give you reminders for them to send out. I can't tell you how many times I think throughout the week, oh man, I need to call this person for our children's department, or I need to call this person for our youth department. And I just literally drop it in my Google Calendar and then remind myself tomorrow at 11, call this person.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that makes such a big difference, because like you said, most of us are a little ADD, and we want to make sure we call everybody and reach out to everybody, but if we don't write it down or put it somewhere where it pings at us the next day to do it, we're going to forget.
But Google Calendar, you mentioned invite somebody to it. That's probably a feature rarely anybody uses.
Yeah. Well, for us, it's massive. Yeah.
It's so huge.
Just grabbing lunch with a volunteer or somebody else that's serving in your ministry and being able to say, hey, I'm going to shoot you this invite to remind you. But also, let's be real. When you invite somebody to eat with one of the pastors and they get like this official text message reminder, it makes them feel like, hey, this matters. This is going on the guy's calendar.
Absolutely.
Which is a cool feature.
Absolutely.
Something that we use that's similar in what we're talking about, just with keeping up with people, but also good for communication, is this other program called Slack. Mm. Now, you use Slack, right?
I've used it. I don't use it as much as I probably should.
We just started using it. So for our church, I'm the next gen pastor, so I oversee kids and student ministries, and I've got a few different people that work with us at different levels. But one of the things that we wanted to make sure was that everyone who leads, whether they're paid or volunteer, mm-hmm. are all in a position to where they can have say in what's going on, and they can be a part of the communication. Well, Slack is basically a glorified chat room. So it's set up on your phone. You can do it on a web browser, on any type of a phone, Android, Apple, whatever. And you can have specific chat rooms that you invite people to that you can carry on different conversations. You can upload pictures, you can upload music to them, videos, and you can have the conversations that you want to have about ministry.
Yeah.
And you can do it in a format that when one of your leaders walks up on Sunday and they have this great idea and you know you're not going to remember it, you can say, put that in Slack.
Because I know some people, we've used the app GroupMe for a lot of group text, not really mass text, but for creating groups.
Yep.
Small groups, things like that, iron groups that I'm a part of. It's a great way for us to have an ongoing conversation. It's like a mass text, but we're on a group. However, you can cut notifications on and off. So sometimes
that's cool.
You realize you know, hey, Andy, you haven't been responded. You're like, yeah, because I got tired of you guys going back and forth, yeah. And I cut the notification off or whatever. But so I could see that being something. But that was a bonus of GroupMe. You could cut the notifications off and then just log in every so often to see what have I missed. You know, even if it was once a day, if it was that active of a group for you, just log in once or twice a day to see what you missed, follow up with stuff. But GroupMe is a free app that really does allow you to do some neat group text things. You can create events and things in it. You can post that event there. Everybody knows what's going on. You see faces. You can see the chat bubbles in line. It archives the conversation that goes way back and way back. It's real simple to use. And so that's something good as well for using. If maybe Slack is a little overwhelming,
sure.
Look at GroupMe.
Yeah.
That might be something for just especially groups you'd want to do. I don't know that it's necessarily the productivity tool for a whole organization.
Sure.
That Slack, you know, really allows you to do for some of the collaborational elements.
Well, but there's some cool benefits to having mass text messaging apps on your phone as well.
Oh yeah.
And just being able to shoot out stuff. We use two different apps. We use something that's like GroupMe that's called, I can't remember. We use Text Groups.
Yep.
And then we also use a program called Hit 'Em Up, which I know you're familiar with.
Yep.
Text Groups is just like every other texting app. It lets you send out a massive text email where it goes to just their individual phones, but it's obvious that it's a mass text message.
Right.
Hit 'Em Up is a little bit different because it allows you to put their first and or last name in the text to them specifically. And they have pros and cons to both. The thing that I love about Hit 'Em Up is that it's personal, but you do have to sit and individually send all of them.
Yeah.
But the nice part about it is you can use them for different functions. We did a multi-church conference here a couple weeks ago, just like a winter church deal, and we wanted to be able to send out information to people who'd signed up, but we also wanted to be able to personally invite kids who hadn't signed up.
Cool.
So we sent out mass information with just the text app, and then we sent out the Hit 'Em Up stuff to individually and personally invite people.
Gotcha.
So it was a smaller group, but it was intentional to be a little bit more personal, which was super helpful.
Yeah, Hit 'Em Up's really nice for that. You do have to individually send because that's just a license issue that Apple has that they want to keep some spam bot from logging on and sending out all this stuff. So if you have a large group, it's going to take a little bit of time, but you're given permission is what I should say, I guess. You're given permission for that app to send through the text thing. But it's a nice, personable message.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, hey, Andy, I missed you at so-and-so because I was able to make it put your first name in there. Or if you want it to sound more formal, you could use the first and last name or whatever. But it looks good. And for a leader that's wanting to send out, 20, 30, I've done as much as 50 to 60.
Yeah.
You just got to keep giving it permission. It just takes a little bit.
One,
but it just looks nice.
One, it means the world to a student or to a volunteer.
Yeah.
You know, if you've got five volunteers that are out and you just want to be able to shoot one thing to them individually, it means, and you're right, and a parent, just being able to see that personal connection, it shows it's trickery, but it's showing that you care a little bit more to make sure that it goes to them individually, and it makes a difference.
Oh yeah, anytime a leader can do that to help build a relationship, something that seems more personable, personal touch to something, it means a little bit more. I know we're not back to handwriting notes again, which I still love those. We did that at camp this last year and last couple years really, but this last year, handwritten notes to leaders, and they're like, kids got handwritten notes, and they're like, what is this? They don't know what it's like to do that.
I tried to do handwritten notes one time, and they thought it was like an eating block test. My handwriting is terrible.
Yeah.
It was not pretty. So nobody wants a handwritten note from me.
No, I know it. While we're on the texting apps or whatever, I know a popular one that we use within the context of our camp world, especially, is Remind.
That's a great app.
It's a great app. It was made for schools, so teachers could text their class. And it's done in such a way that the students subscribe to it, and it can be just they receive a blast from the teacher, so it protects kind of a personal private communication. However, the teacher can allow permissions that would allow feedback as well, or to receive some text. But it's really to protect the student and the adult from maybe an inappropriate text or whatever, but allows you to just kind of send a blast out. But we use it in camp, so when our leaders get there on day one in our orientation, we're like, here's the text number to subscribe to this week. So it's just those leaders that are there for that week. That way in the middle of the week, if something's going on, hey, rain's coming, you know, get inside, we can send that blast out. Or, hey, we've had a schedule change, and all our leaders get it. They love
That's
it.
That's awesome.
Makes it easy to use. Parents, students can subscribe to it. And it's and you don't have to sit there and individually. Now, it's going to not have their first name in there, but it's a nice just mass blast
That's
to
awesome.
Get information out. So, and again, it's a free app that you can snag to use.
That's awesome. That's a really cool concept.
On the side of productivity, is there anything else that jumps out to you that really helps you around here?
Probably the biggest app that we use, we talked about this a little bit, is we're a big proponent of Evernote.
Yeah.
Our whole team uses Evernote for just about anything. If you're not familiar with Evernote, it's basically a note-taking system that allows you to categorize groups of notes mm-hmm. into what they call notebooks. But it's really just a group of notes.
Yeah.
And for us, so we do some team teaching. Our associate youth pastor speaks some, I speak some, a couple of our different leaders speak some. And it allows us to share and collaborate on message notes, event notes while we're working on different things. I personally have been using Evernote just about the entire time I've been in ministry. And for those of y'all who've been in ministry a while, the benefit is all of my sermons from the last 8 years are in Evernote.
Nice.
So I can keyword that I want to talk about dating when I'm preparing for a dating series. And then I can see everything that I've taught over the last few years, which is huge. And it takes a little while to build up that helpfulness. But once you're doing it, it's so amazing. Even after the first year of just logging that stuff. Things like how we do camp registration or how we do event registration, any of those kind of things can all be in Evernote rather than some of it being a Microsoft Word or something like that. And the cool part about it is it's cloud-based, so it's on your phone, it's on your tablet, it's on your computer.
Got it.
It can even be pulled up in a web browser. So we have a computer that runs our screen in here. Mm-hmm. I don't have Evernote on that computer, but I can log into Evernote via Safari, and we can just open up and pull out my slides Evernote. So it's just an all-in-one container for anything that you need in ministry. So.
Yeah, I was using it for a while. I got away from it. I really wish I'd have stuck with it because of just what you're saying. You can tag, you know, all your messages. If you were preaching out of a certain passage, put in the book of John, do that search, and it pulls up anything you've preached from the book of John to kind of cross-reference anything.
And you can put in audio. You can put in videos. You can even be as specific as saving your series graphics with that message. So that if, you know, pastor calls you on Saturday night because he's throwing up and you've got to grab something real quick.
That's good.
Well, there's something that I did a year ago. I can just grab it, refresh a little bit, and I have everything I need.
Of course, you know, we opened up talking about Google Cal, but then there's the whole suite of Google Docs, spreadsheets, slides. You know, all of that's free. All of it is there for your liking. You just need to find something that works for you and then stick with it and then build that culture around that.
Yeah, most people can do all the things that we're talking about in 50 different apps. But it's a matter of choosing an app, doing a little bit of research, finding which one you like best, but choosing one and sticking with it. Because if you're swapping every year, you've wasted the efficiency.
True.
But if you've got something that you're constantly working with and getting better at and learning it and becoming an expert on it, that's going to take you the furthest, I think, time-saving-wise.
Yeah, absolutely. And Evernote does have scanner app options.
Yes.
So you can scan documents into it. And I think with the premium version, that can become a searchable document.
Yes.
On the premium side of things.
So when we went to, a couple years ago, when we were at your CE conference, the speaker gave out handouts. And the way that Evernote works is you can take a picture of the document, and it actually gets rid of the fact that it's a document. And it looks like just a page in Evernote, like everything else that's right there, which is a really cool function. And I've got that in my phone from your stuff.
Very cool. Well, and I love scanner apps anyway. I use Scan Genius. It's something that I can take I hate to carry around a tax exempt form.
Sure.
Being a nonprofit, but when you have a digital copy of it, most places will let you then email that to them. People aren't doing a lot of faxes today, but there are some some apps that'll help with that. But most people will take an email.
Yeah.
Or there's a wireless printer in the organization that you can send it to their wireless printer real quick. So that way, because you scanned it, you've got it in your phone, you're able to keep it with you instead of carrying around a wad of you know, tax exempt forms or whatever form you might use. Let's talk a little bit about maybe youth ministry or kidmen specific. Check-in is a big deal when it comes to running our ministries, kids ministries, youth ministries, tracking attendance and things like that's a big deal. I remember back in the day, again, before all these apps were available, it really became a big deal for me. I wasn't necessarily logging every kid that come in. We might would have a notebook out there, and it was really up to the kid to sign in or something. But when our ministry grew, and then I had a mom call me on a Thursday morning, hey, my kid didn't get home until like almost midnight. What time did you guys get out? Was she even in church? Da da da. And you know, for us, our group had grown to where it was well over 80. We were pushing 100, and I'm just trying to think. I have no idea if she was there.
Yeah.
You know, with everything that was going on, we have a great leadership team and stuff. And I just remember I felt horrible that I couldn't tell that mom if her daughter was there or not. I was like, I really don't know. And but when I hung up the phone, I said, I'll never not have that answer again. And we immediately, implemented a much more firm, more regimented. Of course, this has been years ago. Times have changed now, especially with security issues and things. But we just began to implement a much more firm rule, if you will, that we're gonna have strict attendance to know who's here and who wasn't here. And if we needed to, whether they came in on the van or went home on the van or whatever, we would try to do that. So what are you guys using to help with your check-in system?
So for check-in, we chose, when I transitioned from youth pastor to next gen, we transitioned our whole kids ministry into planning center check-in for a few reasons.
Okay.
Number one, it's the cheapest monthly version that we could find. It's very inexpensive. Even if your church is under 100 people, I think it's either 100 or under 50, it's free. So nice. If your church is not, if your church is saying, I don't have a ton of money because we're just not quite at that size yet, they have super affordable options. And if you're small enough, they'll actually just give it to you.
Nice.
Their programs are, or their check-in program is very simple. It's like everybody else's. You can use an iPad or you can use a cell phone to be a check-in station, or you can use a computer.
Okay.
What we did when we did it, we actually went and bought a bunch of iPad 2s for like 80, 90 bucks used online on eBay or whatever, so that we weren't out a ton of money. And then it's like 15 bucks a month for it. But the kid can walk in, their whole family can print off their name tags in just a couple of clicks of a button, and then it gives them a unique code. The whole family has the same unique code and a tag for the parent that they can use to check out their kid at the end of the day. And it's been great. There are tons of other stuff. CCB has a great program.
Is that Church Community?
Yeah, okay. Church Community Builder, Fellowship One.
Yeah.
We looked at all of those. And what we liked about the Planning Center was, first, most of our churches have a ton of our volunteers already in the system with Planning Center because most churches just schedule with Planning Center.
Yeah.
And all of those databases are connected. The check-in Planning Center and the services Planning Center work together. So if you're already using Planning Center, you probably have a lot of these people already in your database, which is super helpful. So it's inexpensive and easy to use.
But if you're not, there are other modules then that you could add to it that would help ministry in other areas, music ministry, service planning. Registration. I mean, there's a lot of things Planning Center will let you do.
Yeah, no, they do just about everything. What's cool is you can pay for them a la carte so that if you're not using anything, you can start with the check-ins. But let's say you want to go to being able to schedule volunteers because maybe you're growing a little bit.
Sure.
And it's no longer just I'm going to text Susie and Johnny to make sure they're going to be there on Sunday morning. You've got to make sure that there's 8 or 10 people or maybe 20 or however many you need. You can just start paying $10 more a month or $15 more a month for the services module.
Gotcha.
And what's nice about that is, once again, those databases already share. So as you grow with all of those different functions of Planning Center, you can not have to duplicate work. Whereas if you chose another software, you would have to start all over with that database.
Makes sense. Well, that's one app to use. There's multiple out there. I remember just kind of searching through the App Store. Attendance trackers, things like that. There's plenty of apps out there. Youth Men Hub is one that's free.
And that's actually pretty new. That's only been out like a year or two.
Well, I think it was out for a while, then it went away. I think they revamped it and it's come back out. But it's an easy app. So when your kids are coming in, you can have an iPad set up. They're walking in. you know, it's a little cumbersome at mm-hmm. first because you're putting in the data for the first time. But once it's in, including allows a selfie mode to take a picture mm-hmm. of the kids so you can, you know, start to learn your kids' faces and names. But they just walk in and they can do that quick check-in and then check out. It's not necessarily one that, you know, we're planning center, you've got a unique code that the parent right. has to turn in. But as far as just attendance tracking.
Just tracking it, yeah.
You've got to do that. I don't care if you run five kids. You need to have a record. That way you can look back anyway over the year, see who's been here, see your trends and things yeah. like that. There are a lot of metric capturing apps out there that allow you to do that. And I encourage everybody to do that to some degree to figure out how they're growing, maybe what seasons look like in different times of the year. Yeah. They may have more kids or less kids. But the main thing is you need to know if that kid was there. You don't want the parent calling you going, hey, why was my kid, you know, what time did you guys get out of church? And I'm like, well, we got out at 8 o'clock. Well, it was midnight when she got home.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I'm thinking, well, I don't even know if she was here. So track, do attendance track, and it's important for you to do that.
Well, and you were talking about Google Docs earlier. Could, if you didn't want to have to go through the hassle of playing with attendance track or anything okay. like that, you could just make a Google Sheet and maybe give a page for each grade or however you want to do it. Maybe you have multiple small groups. And that's they good. Could just track them in there. And everybody's got that on their phone. I mean, everybody yeah. can have a Google Sheet app on their phone that works. So that's a cool way to do it as well.
We can wrap up the productivity side with, I think, two biggies that most people use. You know, we are in a day and age where everything is so cloud-based, which is great because you don't have to save so much on your tablet, laptop, or phone or anything like that. But when you look at Dropbox and Google Drive, those are two major yep. Apps that just make it so easy to share information, event information, documents, things like that. It's a lot because you're not going to email a video that's of any size to anybody because email is going to kick it out. You certainly can't text it. You save it in your Google Drive. You save it in your Dropbox. Then you just send in a link to somebody, and it just makes it a lot simpler. So if you're putting curriculum in there, anything like that, it makes it a lot easier. And most of those give you anywhere from 10 to 50 gigs free,
yeah.
or just for a few dollars more, you get 100 gigs. I mean, it's really that. Dropbox, Google Drive, and then Box is another yeah. one that I same thing.
I think it ends up being if you're trying to research it, Dropbox is cheaper per gig when you start paying for it. Mm-hmm. However, Google Drive gives you more free out the gate.
At the beginning.
So if you're looking at paying for it, Dropbox may be your better bet if you know you need the space. But if you just need, I think it's 15 gig is what they give you on Google Drive that you can yeah. pay for it and it just be there. If that's all you need, Google Drive is probably your better option.
For me, I do everything on Google Drive. So if my hard drive fails, it doesn't matter. As long as I can get on a tablet or a device and log into Google, I've still got my sermons, my work, my event registration forms. Everything is saved to Google. My documents on my computer.
Yeah.
I drug it over into my Google Drive, and so everything is automatically saved there.
That's a good place to be. Yeah. And that's what we do. We do it a little bit differently. We do it that way with Evernote. All of that yeah. kind of stuff yep. is inside of Evernote. When we go to camp, and we have all of our medical release forms.
Yeah.
I have them in hand, but I have them on my phone.
Yeah.
So if I need to go to a hospital, I don't have to run back to my room. I can go straight to the hospital, and I've got that form with me.
Let's talk a little bit about social media. There's so many social media apps that are out there, but there's really only a key three or four, maybe five or so, that are probably prominent. What works best for you guys in the context of your ministry and what you're doing here?
Sure. So we do a couple of different things. We tend to use an app called Canva, which one of the things I think for many of us that are youth pastors, maybe you're not like Photoshop savvy.
That would be me.
Well, for a long time I wasn't. At the time when I first started youth pastoring, if you wanted good social media, you had to figure it out.
Yeah.
And you had to just make it happen and spend hours making, you know,
I'm from the
one
day
thing.
Of clip art.
Yeah, well.
I'm from the day we used to have to.
Used to hang out with Clippy?
Yeah.
The paper clip?
I love that guy. He was my friend. But no, you would print everything in one color, then you'd have to run it through another color on some of the old copy machines. It's
painful.
It's very painful.
Well, now, in the last probably 4 or 5 years, there are so many apps that are just like click and drag apps that allow you to make really good looking stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, it's actually amazing when you start paying attention and using Canva. You can go to these churches that you look at and drool at their social media and go, man, they're using templates. Like it's not like, you know, and so there's a lot out there for you to be able. You may not say, I have the ability to just go and make everything from scratch. Well, you don't have to. Canva gives you template pictures, fonts, good, everything that you need. You can play with the different layers inside of it. And the cool part about Canva, there's a bunch of different stuff for social media, but the cool part about Canva is you can make one design and you can size it for Instagram, you can size it for Facebook, you can size it, now you can actually even size it for Snapchat. Wow. For those of y'all who use Snapchats for your youth ministry, our Snapchat story is one of the most interactive things that happens for us for social media.
Gotcha.
And so we can do stuff there in Canva for Snapchat. You can resize all that stuff. So you can make one design and make it custom for everything.
That's nice.
So, and yeah, it's just a really cool way to do it.
So let's talk while we're on this. This is a whole nother discussion in and of itself. Do you have, as far as using social media in your ministry, do you have any kind of safeguards put in place as far as, you know, Snapchat, when it first came out, was known as the big sexting app, things like that, because you could send a picture out and it's going to go away. So they thought.
Yeah.
Of course, till people started hacking their system and realized there was a lot of stuff still.
Screenshots ended everybody's
and then
life.
Screenshots were coming out. But as far as in the context of social media and ministry, again, this is a whole nother conversation, but just briefly, do you have any safeguards in place? Do your leaders, do you kind of guys talk about how to protect yourself? And
that's a great question. What we tell our leaders is, when you're connecting with students outside of the ministry, relationally, we ask that it be gender specific. Now we all know that there's a little bit of a different dynamic for those of us that are pastors, because I'm not the male youth pastor. I'm the youth pastor to both genders. And so we work really hard to find avenues that are public to be able to connect with both genders as their pastor. I rarely am going to communicate with a student on a social media platform where stuff can't be pulled back. I mean, like, that's just not, if they engage me there, I'm probably going to shift it to a text message or something like that just to be safe.
Yeah.
And truthfully, and this sounds dumb, but it's just what we do in our house.
Yeah.
My wife is super engaged in our ministry, and if I get a snap from a kid or something on Instagram or even a text message from a kid that's of the opposite sex, my wife knows about it. Not that my wife doesn't trust me, but if we're sitting on the couch, I will literally pick up my phone and be like, hey, I got this from this kid or that. And so just to make sure that it's always very open. And
Like I said, that's a whole conversation that we could do one day, a whole pack, and probably should do a podcast on putting boundaries when it comes to communication, turn things into group chats and stuff, not just the individual one-on-one. And as I've always heard it said in the legal counsel for the Assemblies of God says it all the time, a youth leader should never just be personally texting a student, a minor.
Sure, yeah.
Your communication should be with that minor's parents, and that just saves everybody a lot of heartache down the road.
Yeah.
But there's great social media avenues and apps that really help a ministry grow, and it lets a community know what's going on in your ministry. I love the things that you guys do, and we have several groups that, on Wednesday nights or whenever the night their meeting is, they're doing recaps of the night. They're posting, whether it's a collage of pictures that were taken from the night, or you can go through the stories and just our Instagram stories and just look at all the different things. I think we're crazy if we don't use the social media apps to let people know what's going on.
Well, and the best thing that you can do is, every church I've ever been on staff at, we've just had them, and I've been on staff at some larger churches, I've been on staff at some smaller churches, but every church has somebody, whether it's professionally or hobby, that takes pictures.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be a $4,000, professional camera rig, but having somebody that you say, hey, you like to take pictures. And by the way, for me, for many years, it was actually students that was their
absolutely
hobby.
Absolutely.
And just being able to say, your job is to capture what our youth ministry is every week.
Yeah.
I need some worship pictures. I need some pictures of me preaching. I need some pictures of small groups. Yeah. I need some pictures of people hanging out and cutting up and being stupid before service.
Yeah.
We need all of that.
Yeah.
And when you have, you know, 5 or 10 pictures that you can use every week and Canva, then you have the making of an incredible social media. You know, our social media, is pretty effective. We do a pretty good job with it, but there's nothing complicated about
it.
It's exactly what I just said.
Yeah.
We have somebody that is really helpful with pictures, and we just take those pictures and we put them into Canva. They actually put them on Dropbox.
Nice.
That's how they get them to us. There we download them to our phones, and then we're able to make it with Canva. And that makes such a big difference.
Yeah.
As opposed to using a background or stock footage.
Sure.
That stock footage is a great place to start.
Oh yeah.
But once you've done that for 6 months and you're looking for an upgrade, best thing you can do is just go find somebody in your church that loves taking pictures.
Yeah, I think what you're doing, though, even outside of just getting good pictures, you've engaged one or multiple people in getting involved in your ministry.
Yep.
You're building your team, man. Ministry is always best done in teams. And so you're giving them value and responsibility. I was coaching a young youth pastor just a couple weeks ago, and I'm like, look, you've got kids in your youth group that know how to Instagram better than you and I probably ever thought about doing, because it really is their world. And I said, find you that one or two that they're the Instagram or Twitter or Snapchat king or queens, and empower them.
Yeah.
Give them the login to your youth groups, whatever platform you're using. Give them the login to it and say, I want you snapping these pictures. I want you posting. Let's see it. And then use the live feeds every now and then to show people what's going on. Use that as an opportunity to connect as a leader to the world and just send a message. Even if it's like, hey, we hope you had a great time at whatever tonight. Just want to remind you, here was the big idea for the night. And that's going out to the world so everybody can see what the topic was. They got to see a little bit of what's going on. And you've engaged people, students especially, involved in your ministry. And they're helping expand the kingdom by doing something they love already.
I love it. Well, and the thing is, when you're able to tell your story through social media, it becomes one of the greatest advocates for getting new people on your property. That happens all the time, and you don't realize it, but people can check you out via social media. And it makes such, we know it.
They're going to check you out first.
They're going to check you out before you come. And having stuff that just makes it look fun and inviting is easy to create now. You don't have to have Photoshop. You need to have an app, and whether it's Word Swag or, did you say Texturama?
Typorama.
Typorama or Canva. There's so many different things out there that make it super easy to produce those graphics.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, even with an Instagram, there's filters built into it. Your phones, whether it's an Android or an Apple, has multiple filters already built into it in the camera app. There's no reason you shouldn't be capturing the moments that are taking place in your youth group. And for the most part, a lot of people are.
Yeah.
I mean, you see people, they got their phones out all the time. They're recording, they're snapping. But where does it go?
Yep.
That's just something that, we could do a much better. We as youth and children's leaders could do a much better job of putting that out there. Now, let me say this. When it comes to taking pictures of minors in your ministry and stuff, we encourage everybody to get a permission form. When we do our district event stuff, on every registration form, when the parents signing off, we let them know we're going to be capturing images. Like if your kid, then flag it somehow. If you don't have, if we can't have permission, then let us know that. That way, something can't come back to bite you. So just a little caveat there that you want to keep in mind is to get that out there. But there's no reason you shouldn't be letting people see what's going on in your community, what's going on in your ministry. And giving them a reason to want to come visit, especially as many that are de-churched and non-churched. Of course, we're not targeting people of other churches. There's so many out there that they're not going anywhere, but that kid's going to go, that looks fun.
Yeah. When you and you're doing things that are fun. We're all doing things that are fun. It may look different in each of our youth ministries, but you're doing something that people are enjoying doing, or they wouldn't be coming back. And being able to capture that is just a huge, huge thing.
Gotcha. While we're on social media, I know a lot of ministries have a page. You can have a Facebook, of course, like we normally all sign up with our personal account. Then your ministry can have a page, which is kind of like a landing page. It's for one person, typically an admin, that's putting information out about that ministry or that organization. But interesting, the last week, I don't know if you've read this or seen it, Facebook is changing the algorithms because so many people have used pages to start spamming so many people. I think that's got something to do with all the ads that are on there. And they're really, because Facebook was all about this connection anyway, and so what they're wanting to do is they're really trying to engage conversations, and they're changing the algorithms where if your page is not putting out material that engages conversation, personal conversation, then you're going to start getting bumped down the thing and nobody's ever going to see your deal. They're really trying to push people to groups and organizations that start using groups, because that's where meaningful conversation can happen.
Oh, that's super cool.
So that's just something to think about if you're using a page. We do. We have our West Florida Student Ministries page on Facebook, and we put our event stuff out on that. But it's mostly me putting ads out for our events and things. It's not really me engaging in meaningful conversation. So now I'm having to rethink how we do that and what we're going to do in the near future, because that's already going into play. And so, you know, anybody that listens to this later probably already knows about it, but you can Google it, you can YouTube it. There's people that are talking about, here's some things you can do to kind of not lose the traction of your ministry. But meaningful conversation is the heart behind it. But I like that.
Yeah.
I think that's what social media ought to be about anyway. Meaningful conversations, whether it's Twitter, even though Twitter only, well, of course, they've increased it now to 185 or something characters. Yeah. But it's for these little micro blogs that would facilitate meaningful conversation and stuff. And I think ministries need to be using social media to start the conversations. It helps kids go back to their school and a friend go, hey, what was this all about?
Yeah.
And it just allows him to begin to engage either, A, what your youth ministry is doing, what game that was that they were playing, or this is what the big idea of the night was, and allows the conversation to be started that may, you know, hopefully lead to someone coming to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, all because something they saw your group doing on social media. Yeah.
Now that's awesome. So switching gears a little bit, we've talked a lot about for student ministries. For kids ministry, one of the things that we're getting ready to do is actually some of the stuff that you're talking about. We're actually getting ready to connect the curriculum that we use and what we're talking about each week with our kids to the parents of kids. So
cool.
So we're actually creating a kids ministry Facebook page that has nothing to do with the kids. It has everything to do with their parents.
Good.
And helping them engage through posts about what we're talking about Sunday to help them go ahead and begin to have that conversation through their family time before they even show up on the weekend, which is kind of a cool concept. And
sure.
If you look at most of your curriculum now, most of the curriculums that are out there, regardless of what you use, they have stuff like that for you that are already prepackaged. All you got to do is open it up and use it. There's many of them that'll give you two or three Instagram things or stuff to post on Facebook to just keep up with it. And even if they don't and you've got a curriculum that you like, you can take just like a little snapshot of something in the curriculum that looks good and post it for those parents to see in Facebook.
That's cool. I think you're engaging with meaningful conversation now with the mom and dad and the kid. And man, what I love those conversations for us.
Yeah.
I mean, that sounds very biblical.
Yeah.
You know, the Bible says that whatever you're doing, whether you're having dinner or you're walking down the road, be talking about the scriptures. And so I love it when ministries have that parent connect moment that allows the parent to ask the kid, you know, hey, so tell me about ... because they already know what you're talking about in there. For so long, parents would sit in big church, kids are in kids' church, and we have no clue what was happening in either ministry, and the kids come home, hey, what'd you guys talk about today? Oh, no. You know, they may or may not remember some point or something, but I love churches that are starting to do that, and I think with the technology that we have now, either through the texting services or social media, there's no reason that a kids pastor, kids leader, at the end of a service couldn't have a mass text group set up that says, hey, on the way home, ask your kid this.
Yeah.
Send it out and let the conversation start in the car on the way home. Or like you're saying, hey, this week, this is what we're going to be talking about. Here's the key verse of the day. Kids can start memorizing the memory verse for the day before they even get there. If you do a memory verse game or something like that, that kid's going to come ready to go. And you've already engaged this student during the week to bring them in. And I think there's just too many tools out there available for us to not be more effective in how we're connecting with even the youngest of ages.
No, I completely agree. There's so much out there that we can grab and use, and we need to be making those things as available to our families as possible, because that's what we're here to do. Whether it's in student ministry or kids ministry, we're here to partner with those families to help raise their kids in the ways that God has called us to help them be.
Yeah.
So there's so many different options out there, whether it's social media or one thing that we did that was super engaging, that's not quite social media, but you can do this in any church context and it's free, that was a lot of fun for student ministry, is we did a Q&A session In our service,
yeah.
Which all of us have kind of done. But yeah. What we did this time for the first time ever was we let people ask live questions via text.
Nice.
And we spent all of this time researching apps that would do this.
Cool.
And realizing it was super expensive until we realized if we want a fake number, all we technically would have to do is set up a Google Voice
and you
can text those numbers and you can use a different number to text in questions while you're teaching. Now, we wouldn't do that every week.
Sure.
But for a couple of weeks, my associate youth pastor and I, we just sat up here and answered questions as they were coming in via text message.
That's good.
And kids loved it. They actually asked us not to have small groups that night so that we could continue to answer questions. And so it was a huge deal. It was a huge deal.
That's funny. And there's some survey apps and live feedback apps and all.
Yeah.
Some are expensive. That's gotten a lot cheaper. I think even, if your church uses ProPresenter, I think there's a way of connecting your social media into it. So the guy running ProPresenter can be searching out that specific hashtag, filter what goes up there. That way, you know, everybody can see the question on the screen, but it's been filtered. You know, there's nothing that's going to catch you off guard there, which I would highly recommend. You do that before
We got some great, not stage appropriate questions when we did it. So you definitely have to filter it.
Yeah.
But it was a super easy way to connect with kids in that live moment.
Yeah, cool.
I
think that's fun. I'll say one more app to this, and then we can, any other last minute apps we want to think about, we can throw out there and then get ready to wrap it up. An app that I've just started playing around with that I think a youth leader, kids leader, any leader for that matter, any person can have fun with, but engage the community that they're serving in our context, children or youth, is the Anchor app. And Anchor, it's almost like you creating your own radio station through an app. It turns it into a podcast and will upload it onto iTunes or Stitcher or something like that for you. But it's a free app. It allows you to, it's got some built-in little transitional music you can hit, throw that out there. You can connect it to your Spotify or Apple Music channel.
That's awesome.
And so, and the way it works permission-wise, it'll only upload to the podcast your actual live recording. It won't take a song from your Spotify and play it because of the copyright issues. Mm. So it automatically filters that out. But if people follow you on Anchor, then you can create this radio station. It's good for 24 hours, then it goes away. But if it was something you recorded, you could set that episode up and it automatically goes to iTunes.
That's cool.
So when I'm riding down the road sometimes, if I have an idea or a thought, I can grab my phone. It's set where you can hold it up and talk to it like this. Or if you got your earbuds in, that's great. And then you just hit record and just talk up for about 5 minutes and then hit stop. And
that's
it automatically throws it on the deal.
That's super cool. Yeah, that's a great idea.
Yeah.
And I think we actually heard some of those podcasts on the Facebook page already, right?
Yep. I've shared a couple on there, just little 5-minute nuggets, you know, words of wisdom. I don't know what I have no name for that stuff.
Sure.
You know.
No, that's a super cool thing. Something that we do similar, this will be the last thing we can talk about, I guess, we actually use the YouTube app, of all things, to communicate.
How have we not talked about that yet?
Yeah, I know. But we use it to communicate with our teams.
Yeah.
A week, myself or Luke will actually sit down in our office just with a webcam and talk for 3 minutes, 3 to 4 minutes, tell them what we're doing in service, give all of our team an encouragement, and just say thanks for being a part of the team.
Wow.
We put a keyword in there, we upload the video, and then we text the link out to our staff. They watch the video, show us that they watched it via the keyword, and it's done. And the YouTube app does all of it for us. It's free.
So the keyword's for accountability, that they watched it.
Yes.
That's awesome.
And now I'm having a meeting with my entire department every single week to let them know exactly what's going on. And it really has helped our communication. It's been a huge piece to our ministry.
That's cool. Well, listen, we're going to wrap it up. Thanks for hanging out with us today. I hope you got a nugget or two out of this. There's probably a lot more that we can add to this and may come back and do again. And hopefully maybe in some show notes we can add to it. You can see links to some of these apps. Send us any questions and we'll be glad to help you out. But in the meantime, God bless. Go do what you do with excellence and God will bless it. I promise you.